This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
One of the things we're doing, of course, is keeping track of what's going on in Salem during a full session of the Oregon State Legislature, checking in with lawmakers that represent parts or all of Douglas County. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Kyle, thanks for having me.
And, of course, the House, different than the Senate, not in session yet on Fridays. How soon do you think that'll change?
Well, I believe next week we will start going to three-day-a-week session, actual floor sessions, and I think the Senate's probably headed that same direction. With 3,000 bills to cover, I would imagine by the end of March we will be 5 days a week, maybe six.
Wow. Now, a lot of things to cover. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, people have already been discussing it, is the meeting on Tuesday night with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And they'll be kind of laying out a proposal regarding the Rock Creek Hatchery and some related items as well. Have you had a chance to hear more about that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had a meeting this week with Fish and Wildlife, also with our county commissioners and several other interested parties that from the state that would have effect on what's going on up there. I think that the news is good. I think there is going to be an investment. They're starting to talk about it now, the investment that's going to be made at the Rock Creek Hatchery, which is, I'm all for that. We've supported that all along. We're trying to find money to fund that, and I think they have finally got to the point where there is money to fund it. There's also going to be some substantial investments, I believe, in the South Umpqua River, too. So I think this program, along with the Cow Creek Tribe of the Indians, also is going to be a very successful program. And all the details will be coming out next week. I am probably not going to be able, in person. I won't be able to make the meeting because I've got too many things going on in Salem. But it should be good. I think it's going to be good for the whole community.
And, of course, we've been watching this ever since the Archie Creek fire. It seems like it's taken a long time to get to this point.
Yeah, I think the intention of the state was just to shut it down. And myself and Senator Brock Smith and Douglas Timber Operators and our commissioners and just about everybody else that could fight it, we've been fighting it. And not only have we financially been trying to find, financially trying to figure out where to come up with the money, but also just in principle. I mean, there was a ton of insurance money that is available for, I won't go into the dollar amount, but that was available for the repair and replacement of that facility, as well as FEMA money as well. So I think we got somebody's attention, and I know that we have some new folks with ODF&W that are actually doing some good stuff.
All right, that meeting will be 6 o'clock on Tuesday night out at the fairgrounds. A lot of things to cover. One of the ones that popped up, I think you mentioned it last week, and then we got a press release along the way about the tire tax, and that was getting a lot of attention.
So, yeah, the tire tax is one of those bills. So first off, let me just preface this by saying we have like 3,000 bills that we're trying to weed our way through right now. Unfortunately, being in the minority party, we don't necessarily get to pick and choose which bills we get to go through. That is ran by the majority party. So what our job is to try to keep them honest on their bills. Now, if you know me, you know I'm an anti-tax guy. So when it comes to taxes, if the word tax is in a bill, I'm probably already not for it. You're going to have to make a great case for me to ever, think that a tax bill is okay. This tax is a 4% tax on passenger car tires, trucks, cars, whatever on the road. You would pay at purchase. And the thing that I really don't like about it, besides the fact that it's a tax, is that 4% tax will go toward a fund that will pay for public transit, electric buses, green energy, directly green energy transportation, mass transit. Well, if you look around, we don't have much of that, if any of that, down here in Southern Oregon, for that matter, anywhere in Southeastern Oregon, but Portland does. And Multnomah County does. So what they're asking for is rural Oregon to pay 4% tax so we can pay for their buses and trains and mass transit in the urban cities. And I just can't tell you how against it I am. And I think most of my colleagues that are on the Republican side would agree.
What were the Democrats saying in support of it?
You know, I didn't make it to the, I think it's had a hearing so far. You know, their green energy goals, they don't seem to be paying any attention to what's happening federally. They're forwarding and moving forward on all of their green energy goals, and they want to, if they had it their way, we would not be driving anything that's fossil fueled. We would only be driving things that are electric.
Now, where does that go next? I mean, this is early in the stages for the tire tax proposal, right?
Yeah, it's a House bill. So this is the danger of being in a super minority, because it only takes 36 votes to win a tax vote on the floor. So if it gets out of committee, I believe it just had a hearing, so it would go to a work session. Then we go to the House floor and we would vote on it. If they get the votes to push it through the House, then it would go to the Senate. This one would have a fiscal on it too, so it'll go to Ways and Means. But we won't know for a short time here, probably next couple weeks.
One of the things that came out, I think yesterday, you were part of a group of, I think, all Republican lawmakers asking President Trump to issue another executive order, this one relating to voting and citizenship. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're asking our president. We feel like it's time that we make voting honest. And I think in this state, it's been proven, particularly with the big snafu that happened with DMV, the way they were registering voters that should not have been registered. There were several of them, and we don't know how many. We just know there was a lot. We think it's time that you should have to show valid ID. You should go, if you're going to go vote, just like if you were going to go, buy beer, you have to show that you're 21. You have to show valid ID. We would like to see that happen with voting, just to make it fair and honest.
And, of course, that has been put out there. Do you think there's a shot of the administration actually catching on to that?
Well, I believe so. I think we have several communications going on back and forth with the Trump administration now. I mean, they do speak with us, mostly at a high-level leadership level. They definitely have their sights on Oregon. They understand what our governor's up to. I don't expect anything earth-shakingly quick to happen with anything, but I do expect that federal funding is going to be in play here very shortly, and I know that our Democrat Party in Oregon is very concerned about that.
Now, one of the other executive orders probably about a week ago kind of flew under the radar because of the kind of intense nature of some of the other ones was relating to freeing up timber lands. And obviously that would make a big difference here.
Huge difference here, yeah. We are the timber capital of the world, or at least we used to be when I grew up here, and it would be nice to see that harvest start to happen again. I think we will see some changes. I think that the federal land, and as you know, I think the whole Umpqua National Forest is all, it's all Forest Service land, which is where a lot of our timber is. I think you'll start to see some more harvest once they put that plan in motion, and I think it's in the process right now. Really putting a plan like that in motion means you're going to have a huge amount of, we're going to have lawsuits and we're going to have people protesting. The fact of the matter is, not only do we need to do that, we also need to manage that timber so that when we do have our next wildfire, that our firefighters are not in danger of, being hurt because they're in there trying to fight the fire. And then we need to get rid of the logs. Once the timber is burnt, we need to log it and process it and start over again rather than sitting there just letting them rot away.
And where do you see this one going next?
Well, I know that to do this kind of thing, they have to engage our county commissioners, and we have great county commissioners. They understand the timber industry. This will affect us at a local level, not so much a state level. I mean, it will affect the whole state, but individually, the counties, ONC lands, all of that comes into play at this point. And I think that you'll see that happen. I know that there has been meetings scheduled with our county commissioners and the new heads of BLM. So I think you'll see more of that coming. And then I think they'll put together a plan, and I think we'll start doing what we're good at, growing trees and harvesting timber.
And as you look around Salem over the last few days, what were some of the big highlights for you?
Well, the tire tax, of course, was one. There are just a ton of, I've got a little list of bills here. There's a ton of things that are happening. I'm not going to tell you they're all good. One bill that I really find odd, but it has made its way to a hearing, that's House Bill 3012, and that allows 16-year-olds to be able to vote, 16 and older, to be able to vote in school board elections. And it was interesting having some of the young kids come to my office and explain to me why they need to be able to vote in school board elections, because they don't like the people that are on the school boards, and you know, just for a number of reasons. And I was just, you got to be 18 or 21 to smoke, but you can vote at 16. And if the Democrats had their way, you wouldn't be able to have a gun until you're 21, but you're okay to vote on things at 16. I just can't support that. There's some issues there. There's also another bill, Senate Bill 916, which has been really pressing. That is a bill that allows unions to go out on strike. And while they're on strike, they will get paid unemployment. And it's in it. There's no particular term on how long that unemployment lasts. So that would be devastating to our schools, our hospitals. You know, our entire workforce could walk out the door, and not only would it shut down the business, but they would also be paid to shut it down. So that's that's cleared the Senate. So I think it's headed to the Senate floor now. I think it's cleared the committee.
All right, take a break there, and we'll come back with more. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview, a podcast after 1, 541radio.com, 1245, and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Is happening tomorrow. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Monday, State Senator David Brock Smith will join us from Salem. State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio now. You're kind of going through a list of bills you are not necessarily happy with. Tell us about more.
Yeah, there's a lot. My colleague David Brock Smith does present a weekly list of bills of concern, is what he calls them. These are some of the bills that we've been hearing this last week that are definitely concerning. There's another bill, Senate Bill 77, which is another Jeff Golden. He's our state rep, or he's our senator from Ashland, and it's a bill that limits business in-home business in areas where forestry areas. And it's very restrictive, and it will hurt people like Christmas tree farms and other places where they have five or more employees, but yet they're in the forest zoned area. That one got a hearing. I heard it was pretty rough. He also has a bill, Senate Bill 78, which will only allow you to build if your house does burn down and you're in the forest area. It will only allow you to build back a 2,500 square foot maximum house, or no bigger than that. You can build back what you have, but no bigger than that, and puts a bunch of other restrictions, which that's not setting well with public. And he also is responsible for our wildfire mapping, which is also not setting well. But he's continuing to do those things.
Any word about what the idea was there, why he was behind that?
I mean, you know, there's lots of different theories. I don't really speak with Jeff too much about it, but I think his intention is to keep people from living in the forest. I think he'd like to see everybody move out of the wildland interface and let it go back to natural, and, you know, wildlife can live free, I suppose. I don't know, but it's not sitting well with rural Oregon.
All right, you said he had another one?
He was responsible for the wildfire mapping. So he also has a bill. I haven't seen it yet, but he's trying to do a repeal of his own bad bill. But also the Senate has Noah Robinson's bill, 678, which is also a repeal of that bad bill. But that one needs a lot of work, and we're getting a lot of pushback on it too. The House has a bill as well. We don't have a number on it yet. It's an LC right now. But what people are telling us is they don't want any restrictions at all. They don't want to have the state have the ability to fine you if you don't build a house exactly like they want it, like the state sees fit to do. And I tend to agree with them. I think people's rights way are more important than the state coming in and telling you what you can and can't do. So there's that stuff rolling around too. There are some good things. We had a bill that we heard this week that actually sits a House Bill 3247, which is presented by my colleague Ed Deal. And it says if you're going to eliminate a power source for base load, which would be like a dam or like a gas power plant, that you would have to have something to replace it with before you could eliminate it. Well, we all know that solar and electricity are not going to be able to replace a base load power source. So That would be nuclear. That would be the only thing that could actually replace that. So we also heard some bills on studies of nuclear, small nuclear power plants. So some of that talk is finally starting to happen. I don't think we'll see it for 10 years, but hopefully sooner than later.
Well, and it seems like nuclear is kind of shifted a bit. And I mean, it's been quite a while since there's been much of any interest in it.
Yeah. Recently, though, we actually have produced some nuclear power plant, a power plant at OSU, as a matter of fact, has a test plant. Canada is about to fire off a new one. They have this small modular nuclear plant now, which doesn't take up much room. It's much safer, much, much safer than what used to be in existence prior, you know, to the 70s. And the only way the state is going to meet our green energy goals is to go nuclear. There's just not enough other sources of power out there. The solar and the wind do not get it done. So they're going to have to start talking about it, or we're never going to get there.
Now, for the Democrats, I know there was some pushback just at the volume of how much spending is being proposed.
Yeah, I mean, there is a ton, although I did see this week the governor has kind of cut back on school spending and said, hey, you guys need to figure it out. So that was good news. But yeah, there's a ton of spending proposed, and we're sitting here looking at an ODOT budget, which we still haven't seen yet. So the transportation budget was supposed to be out 2 weeks ago. I think they're afraid to put it out because it's gonna have things like 35 cents per gallon gas tax or more. And it's going to be devastating to our economy and to our trucking industry and to, I mean, good Lord, anybody that works, you know, tries to live day to day and not go broke. It's going to be tough.
What's a typical day like in Salem for you?
Well, I'm an early riser. I get up 4:15 every morning. I go to the gym at 4:15. I come back. I iron my suit and get everything ready to go. And I usually make it to the Capitol a little before 7. Myself and my chief staff go over the agenda for the day. We have it printed out every day, and we go through all of the meetings. And then my legislative assistant and I, Austin, we go over all of the bills that we're looking at for the day. It's his job is to read those bills and go through them line by line and pretty much pull out everything and give me a rough draft of what I need to be paying attention to in the hearings. And then from that point, we have hearings all the way up till floor session, which is, can be all day long. And then we have hearings in the afternoon, and we have meetings with lobby about every other 15 minutes in between. It's a pretty busy day.
And often extending into the evening?
Yeah. This time of year, we're usually able to get out of the building by 5 o'clock. But if you're on any of the Joint Transportation Committee or any of the joint committees, then you're generally not out till around 7. And then we have receptions and lobby interest stuff in the evenings almost every day.
And how often outside of, you know, committee meetings or whatever, are you able to have in-depth conversations with some of the other lawmakers, particularly on the other side of the aisle?
Yeah, so we mix those in too. A lot of that's done in the other 15 minutes. So in my office, we schedule meetings the last 15 minutes, and then I'll have 15 minutes in between that and the next meeting. So a lot of times I'll either go to the other lawmakers' offices, or we'll just, you know, get on the phone together, or sometimes it's just a matter of a Zoom call.
And what about new lawmakers? I know you had quite a few this time. How do they seem to be doing?
They're doing great, particularly in the Republican Party. Alex Scarlatos is new to us. Alec is doing amazing things up there. People are paying attention to the stuff that he's talking about. He's going to be a great advocate for gun rights because he knows guns real well. Darren Harbick was a timber guy. He had log trucks in Eugene, and he replaced Charlie Conrad, and he's a leader. I mean, the guy's just amazing to watch him, you know, for his first term. Literally, he's been in there 2 months, and he's a standout leader. So we've got some great folks coming up, and I think we're going to do really well.
And as you look ahead, what's kind of on the top of your agenda for next week?
Well, we have a lot of bills. In fact, I was just looking at that. On Fridays when I come home, generally Friday mornings, I'll sit and go through all of what's happening for the following week so I can be prepared on Monday morning to start. We have some gun bills coming up that are not very pretty, and that's probably going to be the highlight of the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, there's just some other policy bills that are coming along with that. But the gun bills are going to be tough, and in fact, I spoke with our leader last night. We're going to try to put together a strategy to fight those gun bills as well.
And what about the state, the various department budgets?
Well, again, the budgets, a lot of them we just haven't seen yet. We had a briefing on it this last week on where we're, where the corrected revenue forecast, well, corrected budget is going to be. I don't think there were any surprises. It was pretty much standard. Basically what that means is when they budgeted for this biennium, and they take a look at it in the middle of the term and they say, well, we were off by, you know, $1 million here. We need to add it there. We need, you know, that's all that's really going on right now. There's no, we won't see any real budgets until probably July.
And in an average week, how many constituents, how many folks do you get emails or phone calls from?
Oh boy. On average, it's no less than 100. And sometimes, and now as things are starting to heat up, I mean, we'll get 100 emails a day. I get a lot of phone calls. I try to return my phone calls, which is always shocking to people. They're like, you actually call people back. I said, well, yeah, you put me here to do the job. I'm going to call you back. A lot of emails. Starting to get a lot of letters in the mail. It's hard to put a number on it. Just depends on what's going on. If it's controversial, we could get 500 in a day.
All right. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.